matters to you, and ask you the question, do people matter? And of course people matter to you, otherwise you'd be a sociopath. And I hope we don't have a whole lot of those in here. So, but as far as it, and again, I love that effort, and it's really kind of expresses in a visual form what I'm hoping that we can kind of, inside of us, kind of rises up inside of us. But what's true is just okay is not okay when it comes to people. When it comes to people, doing what's just okay is not okay. So let's take a few minutes and talk about that. And so we're thinking about, in this series where we're talking about just okay is not okay, we're also looking at the Apostle Paul and what he's written in 1 Corinthians. But I wanted to write to you, so I wanted to show you some things that he's written to help you get a glimpse of who he is. But he says this, and this is on his way to Jerusalem, which is not looking good, and he knows it's not looking good. Matter of fact, the church is begging him not to go because they know what lies ahead for him. And this is what he says at that point in his life. He says, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. So he's facing all this suffering, and he says, you know what, I really consider my life worth nothing, only that I might finish the race and complete the task. What's the task? The task of testifying how great God is. And so that's his goal. And so the question I ask us this morning, just to think about real briefly, is what in the world is going on in Paul's life? Not necessarily in that moment that he says this, but what would have happened in his life that he would have that kind of passion to spend his life like that? In 2 Corinthians, Paul is dealing with this issue in the church. And one of the things, if you read the New Testament at all, a lot of it is about church issues. Isn't that nice to know? There have been church issues for a long time. Matter of fact, this church right there, Paul says, you know, you have immorality in your church that make the people outside of your church blush. And but he's dealing with this issue where these people came in and they're kind of came in all braggadocious and kind of put Paul down and all those kind of things. And Paul's just sharing a little bit in this passage in the second letter to the Corinthians about what has happened in his life, you know. And he says this, I want you to think about this, really think about it. He said, I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently. Prison scares me. It does. Hopefully I don't do anything to go, but he says, I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. Has anybody ever driven down the road and almost been killed in a car accident? Have you ever done that and then you pull off side of the road to get your breath? I have. You know, it's just like Paul says, I have been exposed to death again. He doesn't even give a number. So he says, I've worked harder. I've been in prison more frequently. I've been flogged severely. I've been exposed to death so many times, I'm not even going to give you a number. He says, 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. The Jewish thinking at that time is 40 lashes would kill somebody. So take one back. Almost kill him. So he says, 5 times he received that from the Jews. He says, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Now, why was he doing this? Because he was a degenerate? Because he was a criminal? Why did all this stuff happen to him? Because he was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So this idea, he said, I just want to finish the race and complete the course and telling people how great God is. Well, all this happened because he was going around telling people how great God was. And then this is what happened to him. Says he was pelted with stones. I don't know if pelted is a strong enough word, but he says, 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. Can you imagine having that conversation with the Lord? Kind of like, Lord, are you kidding me? Look at how I serve you. And now I'm out here, I'm going to die. It's like, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, you know, send a couple big fish, you just grab on, right to shore. Nothing. He spends a night and a day in the open sea. A night and a day. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers. I've been in danger from bandits. I've been in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. He says, I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. So that was part of Paul's journey in the Christian faith. So obviously, something had really happened to Paul. Well, so what is motivating Paul? Well, what used to motivate Paul was that he just couldn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah because he was crucified and it everything didn't fall into place with what Paul thought the Messiah would be like and who this Jesus was, so he was persecuting the people. Well, then he met Jesus. And then Jesus changed his life. And Ananias comes to where Saul is then, before his name was changed to Paul, and Ananias comes to him and says, in Jesus' name, receive your sight, and so he does. Everything in Paul's life's changed, and so I just want you to think about this for a minute. Paul had a personal relationship with Jesus that changed his life. So not only did God deal with him in an intellectual way with what he believed and those kind of things, but he also dealt with him in a very personal way. How in the world would you ever go through all that? If you told me that coming to Oxford meant this, I would feel the Lord taking me somewhere else. Wouldn't you? Every now and then I'll think, you get a great job there. You're only going to be beaten with rods 3 times if you go there. So, but Paul had a personal relationship with Jesus that changed his life. Now, still with the Apostle Paul, we just look at that stuff and it just doesn't connect with us, I think. It's like, well, that's not me. So kind of work through this with me. We can't try to impersonate Paul's personality, emotions, capabilities, or effectiveness, but we can respond to our own experience with God. Now, the question I would have today is, what is your experience with God? Do you have one? Do you have a story? I was ministering to a guy, and I've said this before. He had been diagnosed with cancer. He was dying. And I came over, and he looked at me, and he says, it's all been a lie. Now, this person served on the board for years, for me and for other. I said, what are you talking about? He said, everything. It's all been a lie. Now, this guy was wonderful. He was a great person, served, did all these kind of things. But he did not have a personal relationship with Jesus. He was just kind of going through what the church said were the motions. Do this, do this, do this. And he was doing all those things. And then on the end of his life, he says, it's all been a lie. So even for us, what is our own personal story? Now, I thank the Lord that I have a story. A friend of mine, I was talking to him one time, and he was telling me that his story, as he sees it in Scripture, is the time that Jesus went to the guys that were crazy out of their minds, cutting themselves in the cemetery. Do you remember the story in the Scriptures? And Jesus cast the demons out of him. He said, that's my story. I'm thinking, wow. Cool story, unless you're kind of him. But it's a great story to hear from the outside. But the question is for all of us, well, what is our story? What have we experienced in our life with God? And everybody's experiences aren't the same, but certainly we want to have this sense that God is more than just an idea, a thought, or ideology. So we can't try to impersonate Paul's personality, emotion, capabilities, or effectiveness, but we can respond to our own experience with God. And if we have no experience to say, then we can say, God, I want to know you better. Help me to understand what this is all about. I don't want to just go through the motions and be a good person. I want to know this is real. And I've shared this before, but I am here today because God did something, not all the years I grew up in the church, but he did something in my life. And I can't explain it. Only that he did it. So for all of us, what is our story? Are we just going through the motions? Are we just being good church folks? Or do we have a story to tell? And if you don't have a story to tell, then I'd say, then let's seek the Lord and say, God, do something in my life. Just okay isn't okay, and it isn't going to motivate you either. Okay, so this. So what we can respond to our own experience with God, we can also determine that people matter, and live in a manner that acknowledges their greatest need is to know Jesus personally. Okay, what does that mean? We can determine to live in a way that people matter. So if I'm looking at your life, can I tell that people matter in your life? You say, of course people matter. I'm connected with people all the time. People matter. What's going on in their life matters. Where they're going to spend eternity matters. What they're going through matters. Jesus says, come to me all who are weary and burdened. Do you care that the people out there with you are weary and burdened? You'd say, I don't know that anybody that I know is. I'm thinking, are you kidding me? So we can also determine that people matter and then live in a manner that acknowledges their greatest need. Well, what does that mean? Well, people have all kinds of needs, but the greatest of all needs is to know Jesus Christ personally. If you're hungry, you need to be fed. If you're cold, you need a coat. All those things are important, those basic necessities of life, but the ultimate need of everybody is to know Jesus Christ personally. I mean, that's the huge need. And so are we living in a way that acknowledges that that is people's greatest needs? Are we thinking about, well, how can I share? I don't think they know. Are we praying about it? I think one of the things that, and now that I'm older, I get this. I think sometimes we think that people's greatest need, it is a superior moral ethic. It's like, oh, my son or my daughter's out doing this, and I want them to stop doing that, and oh, I wish they would accept what my moral code is, or I wish that they would accept what the biblical moral code is. Their life is just going to go so much better. And by the way, it would. But our greatest need is not a superior moral ethic. It's to know Jesus personally. And then he gives us his ethic. But I think sometimes in the church, we just think if people would act morally, it would be a better world. And it would be. But Jesus didn't come to just deliver a moral ethic, no matter how good it is. I mean, he wants to be in relationship with us. And a relationship with us that is life-changing. Not ho-hum. And I get it. You can't be on top all the time. I get it. And life is hard. And you go through times when life is really, really hard. But I mean, our relationship with the Lord should do something. It should move us. And it isn't just that we would deliver some kind of a moral ethic or change somebody's political view or whatever. So here's Paul. Man, I got a lot to say in a little bit of time. Though I am free, so here is now the Apostle Paul. We're going to read what he's saying as far as Paul. And how do you live in a way that shows that people matter? How do you live in a way that show people matter? Here's what Paul says. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. Don't think worse of me. We were talking the other day, I thought, you know how many weekends I've spent in the church? I mean, weekend after weekend after weekend. You say, well, it's the only job, oh, it's the only time you work, so what are you going to do? That's true. But still, weekend after weekend after weekend after weekend after weekend after weekend after weekend. I just made that up. It sounded like a train. But he says, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. You know what I think Paul is saying is, listen, it might take a lot of your weekends. But I'm going to do what I need to win as many as possible. Again, if people matter, if people's spiritual lives matter, then it's going to have some kind of cost associated with it, won't it? Yes. Is Paul a religious fanatic? No. But he gets it. Do you get the impression that Paul wins everybody to the Lord? I mean, I think you kind of get that impression if you kind of read him, but listen to how he talks. He says, to the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. He said, to those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. How many? I don't know. But he says, whatever it takes, I'm doing whatever it takes so that at least I may save some. It's like, come on, Paul. Relax. You're doing okay. Why go crazy with this? You're good. You pay your taxes. You brush your teeth. You go to church. Why get all spastic about this? Because he understood. People matter. And I put in my own personal purpose statement, I want people to know God like I know him. I mean, I don't know him perfectly, but I know him enough to know that I want other people to know him. He says, I do all of this so that I might save some. He didn't win everybody, but he did win some. So the question for us, the question for you is, if people matter to you, and if people's relationship with Christ really matters, how will that look in your life? I doubt if we tried, we could have his list of things, of getting beaten with rods and all that kind of stuff. But what does this look like for us? And again, just like when I'm talking about giving, I'm not trying to tell you what it looks like for you, but it's got to look like something. So how will it look? If people really matter to you, and if the ultimate thing in people's life that matters is their relationship with Christ, so what does that mean for you? Don't say, well, I'm not Paul, I get it. Well, I'm not you. I get it. So how will it look in your life? So if you look at your life and you say, you know what, I'm pretty okay. Again, I'm good. I'm this. I'm that. I'm just. But again, when it comes to people, just okay is not okay. So it's like one of these things where if you believe what you say you believe, it's really going to make a difference in your life. I'll still never forget the words of my cousin. And this wasn't even true for me. But he tried to take his life, and I was sharing my faith with him afterwards. And he said, I never knew you believed that way. Now, I was living for the Lord then. I just guess I just hadn't talked to him, but I just words just burned. I never knew you believed that way. So when you think about the people in your life, I mean, is that going to be their testimony? I never knew they believed that way. I mean, I knew they were good people. I mean, I knew they went to church. I mean, I knew they did nice things, but I just never knew they really believed that way. Like, this is something that you revolve your whole life around. It isn't something you just leave on the edge of your life and go to it when you need it, or something you just season your life with. It's everything. You can't look at the life of the Apostle Paul, and even for us, again, it's not how many times we've been beaten with rods, but when you look at your own life, does God really matter? Do people really matter? And I know they matter in a certain sense, but how much do they matter? And by the way, when I hear a message like this, I just get all, I'm doing it. Excuse me. I mean, I get fired up about that kind of thing. I'm thinking, these jokers may not do it, but I'm doing it. For 2 weeks. Then the world catches up with me, and then I forget. The problems of life pours in on me. What do I need? I need a group of people like you. Say, hey, are you doing it? Abby, are you doing it? I hope so. Man, because I want to do it, but I know I'm up and down, and I know I need your help. That's why we're going to talk about the church later. By the way, I'm not going to be here next week, but Pastor Brian, it's so funny. I said, hey, you got two sermons you can preach. This one, which is the one I wanted him to preach, and this one. And I even worded it so he would get it. And he picked the wrong one. I know he did it on purpose. Don't even try to tell me different. The sermon I was looking forward to preaching, he said, I'll do that one. So you won't want to miss that next week. I already told him it better be good because mine was going to be awesome. And you know what he left me? Prayer. You know what I think? I think prayer probably makes more difference than any amount of flapping your gums you can do. So I appreciate how God worked that out for me. Because that prayer is not my go-to. I mean, I go to it and I pray. But to realize, man, that prayer is everything. It's like, well, I'm not motivated. Well, God, help me be motivated. I'm not, just not very winsome. God, help me be winsome. God, I'm afraid. Well, help me not be afraid. That's what prayer's for. Paul says, I do all this for the sake of the gospel that I may share in its blessings. Let me just say this. This is the last slide, I think. We're pretty close to being on time. So, by the way, the praise team is going to come and sing. You're not obligated to sing. You're not obligated to stay. But if you'd like to, please do. If you need to go out and come back in for the meeting, please do that quickly. But let me just finish with this thought. Can you think of anything more worthwhile than leading someone to the Lord, or at least trying to? Can you think of anything more worthwhile? I mean, if you're a Democrat and you want to convert Republicans, now that's worthwhile as far as you're concerned, but is it ultimately worthwhile? Can you think of anything more worthwhile than leading someone to the Lord, or at least trying to? I can't. But here's the big question. If that's true, how much effort do you think you will need to expend? I'm thinking a ton. I think it's going to be hard. I'm thinking that's why the Apostle Paul did all those things, because it's tough to do. Can you think of anything more worthwhile than leading someone? I don't know what to pray. I don't want to give my sermon away for my prayer week, but listen, there are no good excuses. It's like, well, I can't do that. That's why God gave you the church. Well, I can't do this. That's why God gave you the church. Well, I can't do that. That's why God gave you the church. That's my next message after my prayer message. Can you think of anything more worthwhile than leading someone to the Lord? Praise him if you'll come on up.